Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
Turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've been there for the last few weeks. You know, last week we talked about fishing a little bit and how to catch some fish. Now, I want you to know the last picture you saw last week was the expert on that fishing. All right? You need to get with her, and she will reveal to you how to catch fish. I'm going to go with the amateurs this year. I'm going with Bob and Bobby and Stan, not to linger there too much. And I wished I had the professional with me going out so she could really teach me how to fish. But last week we talked about the things that we deal with in life, how to catch fish and how to see God work and know that God can work through the difficulties. And then we put out several little things that we said and in points, and one of them was that we got to live with expectations of believing that God can do something in the situations that we deal with in life. Expecting God to do something. I know this church has been here for a long time. You have been part of it for a long time. Karen and I have been part of it for a short time. And I know there's others here that's only been here for a short time, but I know if you and I will allow God to work and we would expect God to work, God will work and can work. And we see some good things. We were talking about in Sunday school this morning about Ezekiel having a vision. And we've got to have a vision, because if you don't have a vision, we perish. But God will give to you and me a vision. And folks, listen, I have, for me, now, this is for me. I have a vision for this church. And I believe God is going to do some great things. You and I together, and we together praying and ministering with each other, to each other, and to the community, can see God do some wonderful things, good things. But God is involved. Expect it. Live with expectation. The other thing is anticipation, we said. Anticipating, to live our whole life with anticipation. I lived my whole life since I turned 19 years old with anticipation of knowing that one day, someday, and it's getting closer every day, that I will stand in the presence of God someday. Amen. Amen. And you will too. But while we're here with anticipation, let's live this moment and this experience together, and let's anticipate great things that God can do, because He will. And He can. Living our life with anticipation. What we actually do, and I tried to say this last week, I don't know if I came across very well, but we work on the edge of an unseen future, you know. But as we work on the edge of an unseen future for this church and for our own lives and for the life of Brother Richard, and each one of us live there each and every day, but we should live it with anticipation of knowing that God is involved in it, and that God will and can do wonderful things. And sometimes it's not easy. It's not always easy. I love things whenever it's easy. But it's not always easy. God's way is not always easy. We sing that song, wherever the footprints of Jesus, wherever He leads, I will follow. Are we really serious about that? Wherever He leads, I will follow with anticipation, the trials of life, the ups and downs of life, the good times in life. I love those times, but the hard times in life, do we really want to follow His footsteps on through those things too? Brother Richard, again, I just shared this just for a second. He and I was talking, and it reminded me of the events that have taken place in my life and the events that have taken place in your life. And I remember one day I was with God, and I was telling God, I told you that, oh God, I was struggling with Him with some problems and issues in my life. And I told God, I ain't going no further with you. He would say, where are you going to go? I don't want to go through the problems of life without Him. You know, there's no other place to go. anticipating God, knowing and experiencing Him. Catch a glimpse of faith in other people's life. How many of you live by faith? You know, you go down through that. We'll see this morning if we get there. But to live life by faith. And I love looking at people and seeing God's faith in the lives of God's people. That excites me. Whenever I see those little glimpses of faith in your life, whenever you proclaim what God has done and what God is doing and what God can do, that encourages me. And especially if you've had a bad week, huh? To see people acting with anticipation, with unselfish love to minister to one another and to all those around. Amen? Ain't that something good? That's a wonderful thing. But to have genuine hope in a living God. I'm looking forward to the future. I know somebody is celebrating a birthday this morning, and I'm not going to tell you how old that person is, right? I'm 71 years old, and I'm looking to the future, and we think about the future, and we all say this. I have more days behind me than I have in front of me. Amen? But I'm telling you this much. That's only on this planet. Amen? That's only here, because I have an eternity over there. Amen? Living in genuine hope in a living God, and knowing that God going to make a difference. And if we have this anticipation, and I don't want to stay on these points all morning because I got four other ones, but if we stay and we have this anticipation towards the future, then what will it create within us? And it'll create this desire to actually hunt, not squirrels and rabbits and deers and stuff like that, even though I like that. Living with anticipation to wonder what will happen next. Amen. Now, with that being said, let's go to this fifth chapter. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in of life. Now he that had wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also had given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I said all that to say this. This morning, we have tried to get to, in the past week, and I said that in the week ahead, we want to get to a certain point, a certain verse. And the verse I want to get to is verse 21, and I won't get there this morning.
says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him."
Now, if you want a verse that can be condensed down and give to you the whole of all the Bible, that's the verse right there. Anyone ever heard what they call the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Bible? You ever heard of that? The Reader's Digest has got a Bible out there, and it's called the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Bible. Don't get it, all right? I'm just saying it's out there. And what it is if you take this King James that I'm holding up here like this, and you put the words that they put in that condensed Bible of theirs, it's about that size. I mean, maybe about a quarter inch thick. This is about an inch and a half, I guess, thick. But their book is about a quarter inch thick, because they said, "We will not repeat any word that has already been stated in the Bible. And so all we're going to do is whenever it says something in the Bible, we're just going to say it once and not the second time." I think it's important whenever God speaks, and if he says it the second time, we better listen, all right? Instead of trying to say we don't need to hear it the second time. But whenever if you really want to condense the whole Bible down into one verse, verse 21 is it. That would surround everything that God would say and intended to say throughout the whole Bible, and this is where he gets to. All right? But before we got there, Paul expounds upon all this type of thing that is in reality is a future for you and me. And if that's true, then what is he trying to tell us through from chapter 5, verse 1, down to verse 21? What is it that he wants us to know? What is it that he wants us to do? And not only that, but we could go back to verse 1 of chapter 1 and read through chapter 4 and then proceed to read chapter 5 and say, well, what is it that God wants us to do as a result of this? If we know verse 21 is a reality and he's sharing with us all this other stuff prior to that, what does God want us to do? Well, chapter 5 tells us what we're to do. And the thing that he's telling us to do is this. And number one is walk by faith. I like that, don't you? Look down there, if you would, verse 6. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." We're absent from the Lord. Then verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." For we walk by faith, not by sight. I asked you that question. I said, how many of you are walking by faith? Faith is to believe everything that's already been said, Paul said. Faith is to believe that you know that if your this little tent that you live in, that in heaven there is a dwelling place for you there that is a house that is eternal in the heavens. You know what? And we've talked a little bit about this in Sunday school this morning too, but he uses in verse 1 that word tabernacle, and then he uses the word building of God in the heavens. And it correlates with the Old Testament thing. You remember whenever the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness and they had the tabernacle there. They could come into the presence of God, work and worship him in their tabernacle. It was a tent and it was never permanent. It was something that was always being moved from one place to another. And they did this for over 40 years. But finally they went into the promised land and they were able to get rid of that tabernacle, that tent, and they built a building with the foundation, and it was something that was permanent. Well, symbolically, I think, is that you and I wander through this world in this little tabernacle, this little tent. And eventually this tent is going to be dissolved because it was never intended to be permanent, not in this condition. And over there in glory, there is a building with a foundation on it that is eternal where you and I will go someday. Amen? You ready to go today? What is it? It says everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today.
That could be dangerous, all right? For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then it says, we groan in earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Desire to be free, to truly know God.
But not only to be free to know God,
But we stated this in a couple of weeks ago, and that is to be free to know God, but to be free to know each other as we are known. How many of you don't really think you know the person next to you? Now, one day you'll know that person really good in heaven as they are. But anyhow, we walk by faith. What's the opposite of faith?
It'd be like, I don't know what state it is, where they say, you know, the only way I would believe it is by seeing it. You know, I have to see it to believe it. Folks, listen, God doesn't work that way. If you want to see it, he'll show it to you, but not by necessarily by your your eyesight as much as by the heart's sight. If you want to see God, he will reveal himself, but it's going to be through faith. If you want to see the future, it's going to be through faith. If you want to know what heaven's like, it's going to be by faith. One day you'll actually see it with your eyes, but today God says you'll have to see it by faith. You got to see it by your heart. Ephesians says that I might have the wisdom to open my heart's eyes, that I might be able to see and understand who God is. Amen. And God is a God that's above all these circumstances of life and the things that we deal with in life. So the first thing he tells us to do is to walk by faith. The second thing as we move down through there is, and you probably heard these over, and you'll hear them over and over again, is not only do we walk by faith, but he tells us that we must be pleasing to God. And the only way you can really please God, walk by faith, to believe God is and God is able to do all that he says he'll do. But be pleasing to God. Look at verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, for that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Good or bad. You and I will stand before Jesus someday. I know I got some bad things in my life, and I know you do too. But there's good things too, amen? By faith, we look forward to the day that we stand there in his presence. And for most of us at our age, 71 and above, if you're 71 years old, you're only two new cars away from heaven. I had a lady tell me one time she was about 78 years old, and her name was Jane Overdorf. And she told me one day, she said, you know what I'm going to do? She said, I'm going to go out and buy me one more car. That's the reason I said that. She said, I'm going to go out and buy me one more car, she said, because I got just enough time to buy one more car. She figured she was going to live about four more years. 82 was about her time going home. I remember last time I saw her. She was right. That was her last car. And she went home. Oh, she was glad to go home. That wasn't no bad thing there. Jane was one of those ladies that was in church every single Sunday. She was there. And I'll tell you what, you didn't sit in her pew either. And she marked her pew in that church. It was about the fourth one back. You could tell. And you can still go to that church and see it. She had marked it with her fingernail. Because she would sit there on Sunday mornings, every Sunday, and she'd go like this. And over the years, you know, she had wore a little place into that pew. And she'd come down through there. And she would, I guess she'd think she might get blind someday. As she'd come down through there, she'd go like this. Rub it. And if she felt that little groove, she knew her pew. She's home with the Lord, boys and girls. She's there. God's good.
Amen. But we seek to be pleasing to God.
And listen, if that's true, if we walk by faith and we live a life that is pleasing to God, the other point would be is that we actually would be persuading others to come and join us and go with us. Amen? I don't want to be in heaven by myself. You heard the story, and I don't know which group it was, that this group of people was in heaven. I know you've heard this story before, but this group of people was in heaven, and they say like St. Peter's was leading this guy around heaven, showing him around, and as he was showing them around heaven, he come up on this one group of people, and they were making a whole lot of noise over there, and St. Peter said, the guy asked St. Peter, who's that? And he said, well, that's the Pentecostals that came up here. And then he got over into this other group, and he named off a couple other groups, and he finally came to this other group that was real quiet, and he told this person that he was leading around, he said, shh, as we go by here, he said, be real quiet. And they looked at him and said, why? He said, because they think they're the only one up here. I don't want to be up there by myself, do you? No. Take as many as we can. This is true. This is the truth that we experience in life is this. If we walk by faith and we seek to please God, people will see it. People will see it. Folks, not only will they see it in our lives in a personal way out there personally, but they'll see it as we worship together on Sunday mornings as we seek to please God. You know, instead of saying something bad about Gail, you know, we don't want to know that. We just want to tell me something good about Gail. Hey, let me share something with you that we learn in psychology, all right? This a little bit of a thing that I had to learn that I thought was kind of interesting. Let's just say in a church like this, and we walk pleasing to God, let's just say, Brother Tim here, he has a problem with, let's say he has a problem with Gail, God forbid, Tim. She's from West Virginia, Tim, I want you to know that. Well, you better not have no problem with her, buddy. Right? She's feisty. Then Tim has a problem with Gail. Instead of dealing with them on a personal level, instead of, let's see, Tim say, I'm just going to go talk to Gail about this problem I have with her. Now, here it is. Gail and Karen get along really good. They have no problem. She don't see no problem with Gail at all. But instead of Tim going to Gail and talking to Gail about the problem he has with Gail, he comes and tells Karen, he said, you know, Gail, boy, I'm telling you, she's a rotten scoundrel. Not true. You know what I'm saying? You know what he just did? You say, well, you gossip. He did more than gossip. What he did, Karen had a perfect relationship with Gail. Now, Tim tells her about Gail. Instead of dealing with the problem with Gail, what he did, he created a problem for Karen. All right, now Karen's going to have to wrestle with this. I wonder if that's true. I wonder if it's not true. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to face Gail? Am I going to be able to always be honest? You know, where are we at? You know what I'm saying? And whenever we do this within the church, and we begin to gossip about each other, we say something bad about one another, instead of solving the problem, what we do is we create more of a problem because the other person just has to deal with it. Now, I tell you what, Tim, if you have a problem with Gail, just come to me and tell me. Because I always like a good story. So, if Tim doesn't come back next week, it's because he went and talked to Gail. He went and talked to Gail. But you see how this works. People in the world see this stuff. And whenever they see us working together, trying to serve God, to be pleasing to God, honoring God, walking by faith, pleasing God, persuading others, and recognizing, and I don't want to go on because we're going to stop there,
And next week we'll move to verse 21 and see the overall of all of it. But he says, if God did this for us, listen, if God, notice what verse 21 says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. If God would do all this for you and me, then it would only be reasonable for you and me to say, I'm going to walk by faith. Why? Because God did this for me. It would only be reasonable for us to say to God, I'm going to be pleasing to you, to do the best I can, to look for every opportunity to serve you in a faithful way, to bring honor and glory to your name, and persuade others to come with me on this journey as I journey with you to eternity. So let's me and you together, and I'll close with this, all right? Let's me and you, let's go fishing. And let's go fishing on the edge of eternity, of a future that we don't quite know or understand. But let's do fishing there, expecting great things from God. Amen. God's good this morning. And he wants to do good things. And you're a bunch of good people. And so we expect God to do good things. Amen. Stand with me for the closing prayer. Father, again this morning, we stand in your presence. Thanking you that you made it possible for us to have a relationship with you where we can walk by faith, believing and knowing and seeing you do great things. Father, you work in the lives of each of us, each and every day. You're there to reveal yourself to us and through us. This morning, Father, help us to be your people that are faithful to you, seeking a way to bring joy to you and in a pleasing manner. And as we walk in this relationship with you, Father, help us to do it in a way that others will see and know your Son Jesus as a result of it. We thank you, we love you, and again, we praise you, Father. In his name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.